Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, welcoming you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to share some great content with you this evening and a few announcements before we start the call. This is officially the first call of June 2014. What a great month this is. I love the summer, and I know many of you. It was a very interesting winter in many different parts of the United States. And many of you that have broken through financially, I know that some of your goals are to not go through another winter. So, hey, summer's here. But I know that many of you multipreneurs are starting to live the life that you so richly deserve. And I want to thank all of you for being on tonight's call. So I've had some great guests on this call in the last few weeks and few years. And I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and let you know that John Assaraf is going to be a guest speaker on this call, as will Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, Mark Victor Hansen, and future guest to be announced before the calendar year 2014 is officially in the books. I just got back from Columbia, South Carolina. What a great group of entrepreneurs I had the opportunity to share the weekend with. And I'll tell you, it is just a pleasure to be able to spend weekends and have dinner with friends, hang out, and then really watch those of you who I've coached, mentored, and watch you flourish. It is the greatest reward just to watch you guys become 4, 5, 6-figure income earners, firing your bosses, breaking new entrepreneurs, and really experiencing free enterprise. This Saturday, I'll be in Weehawken, New Jersey. I think that's with the Romano family. No, I mean, that's Alexis Romano, Tara, Joseph, and Philip. So that is officially the fourfecta of the Romano family, and they have created an absolute dynasty on the East Coast. So I have the privilege of being with that family and all of the great businessmen and women that they have created, along with C.G. Siddons and Don Ferrantino, and Mr. Joe Alonzo. So I'll get to spend the weekend with some of the greatest business people I've ever had the opportunity to collaborate with. That is this Saturday, June 7th in Weehawken, right on the Hudson River across from Manhattan. That is a great location. That is an event from 9 until around 4 o'clock. On June 21st, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the Hilton right on the Strip. You go outside the front door of that Hilton, you walk across the street, and you are officially on one of those beautiful beaches in South Florida. Saturday, June 28th, my first stop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. June 19th, I'll be hosting an event. I will be a speaker at an event in San Francisco, California. I will be sharing the stage with C.G. Siddons, and that is in Pleasanton, California. That'll be a great event. It's Saturday, July 19th, hosted by Mr. Randy Bird. On July 26th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut, and I just added Saturday, August 2nd, the farthest point in the United States, northwest city-wise, that would be Seattle, Washington, with Sarah Spencer and all of her team. So that will be a great event. My first trip back to Seattle in 12 months. So great opportunity if you're in the northwest, Portland, Seattle, to catch a More Heart Than Talent event. If you're on this call, you know that I occasionally offer free 15-minute coaching sessions. I have minimized offering that because of how many coaching clients I have. My coaching list is 8 to 10 weeks presently as it is. I typically offer 2 free 15-minute coaching sessions. If you'd like to take advantage of that and you have a sense of urgency, you can call me right now at 209-932-0227, and I will call you immediately after this call. Be prepared to have a couple of questions for me. That's two people that have a sense of urgency, 209-932-0227, and I will offer you a free 15-minute coaching call. I'll give you the opportunity to experience what I've been doing for 18 years from the comfort of my home, over 9,000 clients, well over 50,000 hours of one-on-one coaching. It's now my privilege to move into our inspirational portion of tonight's call. I love this topic because it's a topic that I've taught for many, many years, changing your story, changing your identity. All of us have been through events that have shaped our feelings and shaped our life. All of us have been through some challenges in life. All of us have shared some pain or had some pain. And you'll find that a lot of people continue to live in the same identity over and over, staying victims, victimized, disappointed, creating the same situation over and over, wondering why they don't get a different result. That would be a large percent of the status quo. Now, those of you on tonight's call, you're in the process. You're in transformation. You're in reinvention. You're in the process of changing your story. The past is only important as the importance that you give it. So you've heard me say before that the past is history, the future is a mystery, what you have now is a gift called time. Every night at midnight, at 12 o'clock, it goes from p.m. to a.m., you are granted a new bank account called time. You get 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes. So every day, you get to reinvent yourself. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over, being and staying disappointed, you get the same result. And this is why you stay confused. You say, I don't know. I'm not sure why this isn't happening. This always happens to me. I tend to get tongue-tied. I don't know what to say, who to be, what to do. That's a very common commonality that many people experience in early free enterprise, and many people continue to experience it because of a level of anxiety that keeps them controlling their control, being out of control in their control. Now, if any of you have ever experienced an outer body experience or have anxiety orders or disorders and can't fly, can't drive, can't go across the bridge, well, those are about events that shape your feelings. Those are called panic attacks, if you've ever experienced a situation like that. It means you get so overwhelmed that you go into an outer body experience trying to control what has not happened. You know, statistics will prove that there are fewer plane wrecks than there are car wrecks. More people die in automobile accidents than ever remotely in plane wrecks, yet many people are afraid to fly. They have an anxiety about the outcome. That becomes an identity. Ask yourself, what identity have I been living in? And if the identity you're living in is not serving you, then let go of it, because you can reinvent yourself on any given day. Yeah, but that's hard. Yeah, but you don't understand. My situation is this. But I have three kids. But I have this. But I'm in a really challenging marriage. I'm in a really challenging divorce. You don't understand. My situation is unique. Yes, we do understand. We understand that you're stuck in your own identity. You're going to encounter a lot of people that will give you validations, reasons, justifications, objections, and most importantly, excuses. You've heard the old adage, an excuse is a well-planned lie. Well, that is absolutely correct. And then there's a large percent of the population that will try, T-R-Y, tomorrow is really yesterday. But changing your identity, what does that really mean? Well, it really starts with this one key word, honesty. Honesty means truth. Now, in the 12-step programs, there's a term called rigorous honesty, two words, rigorous honesty. And what it really means is that you have to address and face the fact that if you're an addict, if you're a full-blown addict like me, that there's a high probability that you were or are a pathological liar. Now, what does that really mean? It means that you lie a lot to yourself. You tell yourself a lot of stories. And if you're really a full-blown addict and you hide alcohol, you hide your drugs, you hide your jelly bellies or your jelly beans, you hide cookies in your desk or your drawer, some of you are shaking your head, you know what I mean, or you sneak things in, you sneak things out, you sneak a shot before you go to bed, you have pills in your pockets or situations like that, well, that becomes your identity. You become that kind of liar. You have to sneak and hide around. It's a very, very, very lowly place to be. It's about as rock bottom as you can possibly get. And then that mythical, magical day when you get sober, well, when you get sober, what it means is that, or when you start to really sober up, or you start to change your identity or change your story, well, you're still left with the remnants of the past. And you can't just forget the past, but it's very important that you forgive yourself and you forgive others for situations that created your past. But if your past is your present, that's your story. And if your past is very strong and you have a strong identity with the past and you can't separate the events that have shaped your feelings, then that will own you. And that will affect, most importantly, your law of attraction. Then you will continue to attract over and over people and situations to fulfill your feelings of disappointment. So changing your story really means changing your words. Changing your words, first of all, getting honest with yourself. Honesty is objectivity. Honesty means you get real. You get real with yourself and you get honest with you. You say self and you have that conversation, self, I am so done with this. You fire your ego. When your ego knocks on your door, you don't let it in anymore. You also have to let go of some of your friends that are part of your story. A big part of your story is the power of association. Who do you associate with? But you don't understand, I don't want to let go of my friends. They're really good people. Some of them are. Some of them are really good people. And some of them are negative while they're really good people. And some of them are good people, but they don't want you to succeed because your success would tend to show their averageness up. And you may not want to let go of those people, but you may have to minimize the time you spend with them. You may have to minimize what you let them say to you. You may have to learn to deflect a lot of what they say and let some of them go. Only you can decide that. It's not a black and white issue, but you have to be able to surround yourself with the story you are creating. That's the power of association. But if you continue to associate with people that can lead you back into your addictions, there's a high probability that you will relapse back into your old story. Your old story is what you've been through, and what you've been through can either create character or can create a lack of character. It can create strength or it can create weakness. No matter what it is, you can reinvent yourself. And, you know, Satchel Paige had some of the greatest sayings of all kinds. Satchel Paige was the African-American player, was one of the early African-Americans who followed the great Jackie Robinson from the Negro Leagues into the Major Leagues. And Satchel Paige's one of his favorite quotes was this: dance like nobody's watching, love like you've never been hurt, and don't look back, your past might catch up on you. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you avoid your past, but stop giving your past so much power. Stop giving people from your past so much power. Now, if you grew up in an abusive, dysfunctional home, you grew up with a passive-aggressive person in your circle of influence, there's a high probability that you become an addicted justifier, validator, and explainer. That's a big part of your story. And in that story, there's a high probability that you're very sensitive and you're very defensive. And if that's the case, I promise you, you will not be coachable. Because someone like Alexis Romano can step to the plate and say, you know what I see in you? I see that you really require changing this. And then you don't understand. My situation's unique. You don't understand where I came from. And see, that will not serve you. That is exactly what you have to let go of, that story. Validating, justifying, explaining. You have to really humble yourself to realize that for you to live the good life that you seek, you have to reinvent yourself. That means discipline. That means diligence. That means paying the price one day at a time. That means being not only humble, but not and being in having some humility, but really becoming a student and a producer. You can be a student all day long. You can leaf through the books. You can listen to the downloads and the podcast. You can go to the events, the seminars, rallies, and conventions. But you must master the laws of compensation. That would be a whole other story. And if your dialogue with money is not conducive to attracting the people you can collaborate with it, then you may have to change your story about money. Because money does not worry about you. Why do you worry about it? And if you would stop worrying, who would you be without worrying? You wouldn't be in control. That's what a lot of anxiety is about worrying. It's a future tense situation that has not happened. And as you begin to let go of your anxiety, you become a whole different energetic being. Your spirituality begins to exude from you. You begin to transmute a whole different presence from your reality. your goodness starts to pour out of you. It's not that you're bad. It's that you have low self-esteem, and that self-esteem that keeps you doing the same thing over and over is connected to your story. Your story is about a series of events that no longer serve you. And the more honest you get with yourself, the more vulnerable. And see, vulnerability has more than one definition. I feel very vulnerable. I don't want to go online. I don't want to be vulnerable. I'm a private person. I don't want people to see. I don't want my friends to see that I'm in a business. Well, you're going to have to let go of some of that anxiety. You have to let the cards fall. If you're going to brand yourself in today's world, I mean, it's a microcosm. People can find out anything they want about you. You might as well let go of control of that. You might as well start to step to the plate and realize that there's a whole new world going on there called social media. And you have to be able to embrace that rather than run away from it. You have to be able to understand that in today's world, it's not as private as it used to be. And in today's world, vulnerability doesn't always mean what it means. Vulnerability in the term I'm talking about is it means you're human, you're real, you let go, you're able to share some of your wounds, you're able to be honest, you're able to be objective about what you've been through. And fortunately, a lot of people will embrace you for that. There will be a few people who won't give you the recognition you feel you deserve, but those people typically aren't the people who's going to be in your corner anyway. They're part of your old story, that old story of who you used to hang around with, the downtrodden bunch, the people you used to hang out on the corner with, the people you used to bend your elbow with, the people you used to go drinking with and happy hour with. This doesn't mean they're good people or bad people or you're better than them, but it means that you're changing. And as you begin to change, some people may not give you the credit you deserve for changing. Some people might actually criticize you for changing your story because they're stuck in their story and they don't want you to leave their story. You have to be willing to let go of what no longer serves you. And as you begin to live one day at a time, and you start to have a better vision of your present and your future, you start to have some clarity in what you're really capable of, and you start to know what you really deserve to achieve to be, then you will let go of some of your old story. The past is always the past. There is a past. You have one. And you can't just forget it, but you can definitely forgive the people, the situations, and most importantly, yourself. You can't change it. I wish I would have. Well, you can't wish you would have. Because it's an absolute waste of time to wish what didn't happen. You have to be present, be available, be emotional, be ready, be productive. And when you start to be that state, then that lets go of the person that you used to do. You're not that doer anymore. You're not the person that used to do those things that no longer served you. You're that new person that you are unequivocally reinventing. But if you continue to say, I don't know why this happens. I don't know what's going on. I'm really stuck. Well, that's great. Being stuck, when you're honest about being stuck, but you must start to understand the cause that creates the effect. But if you can continue to recreate the effect over and over, then you won't be reinventing yourself. You will be and stay disappointed. Now, it's interesting. The word dis means not. Appointed is an appointment means exactly what it is, a scheduled situation. But when you continue to stay disappointed or not scheduled or not arrived, then you will continue to live in a very low energetic vibration, attracting the same situation over and over to fulfill your biochemical craving that you become addicted to, anxiety. And if you live in anxiety of overwhelmed anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, then you will continue to recreate the same feelings over and over and attract a similar situation to your reality. I had the privilege of coaching an exceptional woman today, and she told me that her biggest challenge was rejection. And I said, give me an example of someone who recently rejected you. And she couldn't really think of a situation. I said, go ahead, just tell me one person that you recently conversed with that you presented an opportunity that rejected you. So she told me a situation, and I asked her, what was the situation? She said, my friend said she wasn't interested. I said, she didn't reject you. She wasn't interested. See, that's a big part of a lot of people's story. They create a situation that is not real to justify their procrastination. Now, her friend that wasn't interested, she didn't join the business, buy the product and service because she was rejecting her friend. She wasn't interested. And I said to my client, I said, you have to let go of your need to feel needed. And she said to me that this woman really needed her product. I said, she didn't deserve it. And you have to let go of the kind of people that do that over and over. A large percent of the population is not emotionally available and or ready or seeking change. And it's your responsibility to let go of the people who are not seeking what you have so that you don't take it personal and feel disappointed. You have to change your perception. See, that would be part of your story. You change how you perceive abandonment and rejection. Now, you may have grown up in a broken home or an alcoholic home or a situation where your parents or whoever the situation was not emotionally available. You may have got emotionally and or physically rejected. Your father may have left the family or any multitude of situations that did bring up feelings of rejection. But if that becomes your identity, then that becomes your story. And to become effective at sales and marketing, you must overcome your anxiety about the outcome, specifically rejection and abandonment. You have to change your story about that. You also have to change your story about money. If you grew up in a household where the dialogue with money was not conducive to having prosperity, then there's a high probability that also became part of your identity. And the more you learn to let go of control of the situation you stay in control of, you can unequivocally change your story. So the identity you're in right now, you can unequivocally change it with one decision, I am. I am neutralizes anything that happened in the past. I am neutralizes anything that happens in the future. When you speak in future tense, oftentimes you're not really committing. But when you speak in present tense, which is now, that changes all your history about being commitment phobic or unable to commit when you say I am. But when you say I need to over and over, that perpetuates the same situation that got you where you are right now. When you take a deep breath and release, and you take that, when you release that energy that no longer serves you, that change, that's a reset button that resets your entire neurological network. That's let's go of everything that ever happened in your past that no longer has relevance, and that means that I am right now. I am a new person. I am me. I am free. And when you can come from that empowered state, then you won't attract the same situation over and over. If you're in a business that requires duplication, then you require changing what you're attracting. And if you're someone that's gotten good at selling the products and services, but you have anxiety about selling the dream, then you have to change part of your identity. You have to change your story. A lot of your words about selling the dream aren't conducive to attracting the kind of people who have dreams. Well, I haven't, so I can't. That's a big story that a lot of people say. It's one of the most constant commons that I encounter in my coaching services. A large percent of the population will say, they'll make it about them. So I haven't, so I can't. I haven't made any money in this business, so I can't attract anyone who's prosperous. I can't approach him or her because they're millionaires and I'm not one. I can't write an ad or a post about becoming a millionaire because I'm not one. I can't be a liar. So, I mean, once again, you'd have to understand context. You'd have to be able to put into context what you really mean and what you're really saying. But when your telepathic message is mixed, when you're coming from lack, desperation, or poverty consciousness, when you're emanating broke thoughts, you can't remotely attract prosperous people. If you're cheap and you live cheap, And you're someone who lives like that, that you'd have to change your story about it. And your story, it would have to come from deserve. I deserve to change. I deserve to receive. I am letting go. I'm letting go of my story. I'm letting go of my past. I'm letting go of the people and feelings that no longer serve me. When you start to just saying that, it changes your whole vibration, changes the energetic transmutation in your body. It changes what you emanate. But when you say, well, you don't understand, I can't say that because I don't really believe it. But when you continue to come up with reasons and validate and justify, I challenge you in the next couple of days, watch how many people you ask a question and they tell a story. It's interesting. Storytellers live in the same story that they grew up in, and they tell the same story over and over and over. You can tell an addicted storyteller because they don't really listen. They don't hear the question. They hear what's said, they typically don't hear the meaning, and then they'll differentiate between what was meant, what they thought they said, because they weren't really in the conversation. They're so addicted to their story of being less than, having to validate, justify, and explain themselves, that they no longer have an identity. They have the identity. They don't have the ability to create a new identity because they're addicted to that story. However, anyone can change. Now, what's very interesting, when you start to educate your own expectations, sometimes the people around you's expectations change. So when the people who used to pick on you or used to ask you the difficult questions that you would get tongue-tied, get overwhelmed, lose your command of your emotional state, your left eye iris would look up to the ceiling and the sound would come out of your mouth. It'd take you 3 to 8 seconds to be able to react. But when you teach yourself a new identity, when you change your story, when you realize that those people are the passive-aggressive people that have constantly put you in a place you had to defend, validate, and justify your existence, when you start to take a stand with them, oftentimes they stop giving you the same energy that they're consistently giving you because they can't get the same power from you any longer. When you have that kind of story, when you have that kind of presence, when you have that kind of command of your dialogue, when you have that kind of command of your emotional state, then they no longer feel that they can take advantage of you. It's amazing how that happens. That, my friends, is when your leads change. That's exactly when your inbox starts to fill up. That's how all of a sudden people start to send you friend requests, because it becomes unconscious, it becomes telepathic, it becomes spiritual. The laws of attraction begin to change because your story is changing. You're no longer the victim. You become the victor. You're not a cancer survivor. You're a cancer victor. When you become that victor over your story, you're no longer the victim in the story. You're no longer the story. You're changing your story. You should be able to tell your story in 30 seconds or less. Even if you don't have big results yet, or even if you haven't rank advanced, you should have a story about what the product, service, company, experience, and most importantly, the culture you're in. The culture you're in is a big part of your story. First of all, you're in network marketing and direct sales. You're in free enterprise. You're an entrepreneur. You're a mompreneur. You're a multipreneur. That's part of your story. You just recently got started. You got started a year ago. You began the process 2 years ago. You use words that's conducive to the outcome that you seek. Since I've been a part of this great organization, since I joined this company, since I became an entrepreneur, but a lot of people are so stuck in their story that they predict their disappointment, then create it before it even happens, so they can justify their story. Well, I don't know what to say. I haven't had any results yet, so I can't really talk to people. That's a big part of people's story. Or I haven't made any money yet, so I can't really converse with anyone like that. See, what you miss is that you're making it all about you. You're robbing people opportunities because your story is so weak. You come from a broken story. You come from anxiety, fear, and doubt. That's your story. And you continue to live in that story to justify your story. And then you'll actually try and fake yourself out and go to an event here or there. You might show up at a convention, but instead of really being in the convention, you're in an outer body experience. You end up going to the bar and having a few drinks, and you don't really get the context of what's going on. You have to start to master your inner emotional state so you can master the inner game of your vocation. There's a whole inner game that goes on in your vocation. That's when you become a professional. But if you stay in your old story, you will stay an amateur wondering why you never get compensated, wondering why the product or service doesn't give you the benefit, wondering why your body won't let go of the weight you hold on to because you're holding on so tight to your story that you can't let go of that story. For many people, their story defines and refines them. They won't let go of that control because that control is what keeps them in control. I can't get on a bus. I can't get on a train. I can't get on a plane. I can't travel cross country. I can't afford that. I can't use that. That becomes a big part of people's story. And it's very interesting to watch people how tight they hold on to their story and how they even validate it and justify it. Oh, those things don't work. I tried that once. Isn't that a pyramid? Isn't it classic? the people that pull out the pyramid objection. They have no idea what they pass on. They have preconceived ideas and notions about an industry they know very little about, and yet they'll continue to pay 8% on college loan debt, or they'll continue to pay 4 or 5% on real estate debt, never paying off the interest. They just continue to make minimum payments. They continue to make minimum payments on their credit cards while they tiptoe quietly through life, arriving at their grave safely, but they'd rather hold on to their story about an opportunity that could change their life. You have to let go of these people. You have to understand that you have to change your story about the people you think that need it. Your story should be about the people who deserve it. Instead of attracting the status quo who will never see the forest for the trees, you have to be able to attract the people who see the light, the people who really desire and deserve change, the people who are really committed to the transformation. You have to be able to devote your energy where it's deserved, not needed. That has to become a big part of your story. You have to let go of your codependent issues and tendencies that keep you wanting to rescue and fix up the people who will never end up in the land of promise. You have to become a better reader of people. You have to understand the personality types. You have to understand why people do what they do and how predictable people are. That becomes a new story. When you start to develop and refine your story, you'll be able to tell your story in 30 seconds or less. And if I ever call on you at an event, be prepared, because opportunities are never lost. They're always seized by someone who's ready. I have people who are terrified I'm going to call on them. Oh, my God, I hope you don't call on me. If you call on me, I'll make an embarrassment of myself. Oh, my God, I wouldn't know what to do, what to say. Why wouldn't you know what to do? It would be an honor to share the stage with a millionaire. It would be an honor to be able to tell your story. Be prepared to tell your story. It's a big part of your new identity. You can share your past. You can share some of your early victories. But you don't have to be a millionaire to share your story. Your story is your story. Don't forget, you're constantly rewriting your story. And just because you wrote your first book, you haven't written your last book. And just because you wrote your first chapter, there's many more chapters to go. There's more stories for you to recreate. You continue to reinvent yourself. You have to. It was back in the late 90s, I remember that websites became prevalent. I remember purchasing my first website, $25,000, for a very average website in today's world that would cost about $1,000. That was considered a great website back then. And look how advanced websites are today. Look at social media. A big part of my story about 6 years ago is I was not computer literate. I was very intimidated to get online. Now, I had learned computer skills in the early 90s, and I had forgotten them. I didn't use them. I'd gotten intimidated by them, but I had to change that story when social media came out about 6 years ago. I had forgotten how to type, even though I was a very skilled typer in high school. I could type about 50 words a minute perfectly without any mistakes. But I had forgotten that I once was a typer. That was part of my story. And I had to reinvent myself. And in the last few years, I've gotten pretty good at internet marketing and Facebook skills, even though I was very intimidated and overwhelmed by it at first. I'm not great at a lot of things in it, but I'm really good at the situations that create income and create traffic. That's my new story. I'm constantly learning and adapting. You must be in learn and produce mode at the same time. That's a big part of your story. But if your story continues to disappoint you, keep you overwhelmed, then you unequivocally must let go of those anxieties that keep you doing the same thing over and over, feeling and staying disappointed. You have to go from addiction to recovery. That is a big part of your story. Many of you have played small throughout your life. Well, this is your chance to live large. And what does that really mean? That means that no matter where you are in your journey, no matter how young or how old you are, you can unequivocally reinvent yourself. One of the greatest stories about someone changing their story that I've ever heard in my almost 25-plus year career is the great Jimmy Smith. I met Jimmy early in his career. Jimmy started his network marketing and direct sales career when he was 62 years old. Jimmy was a butcher, and at 62 years old, he was forced into retirement. Jimmy started his network marketing career in the late 80s with a company called National Safety Association NSA, a company that I was also a member in for a brief cup of coffee. It was one of those companies I didn't know what I was doing, didn't stick around very long, and found a shinier object right down the street from someone else who had a bigger, better, shinier pay plan. But Jimmy was in that company, and he eventually went to another company that was one of the pioneers in the binary pay plan. Jimmy had some success in that company and had the opportunity to take a look at a startup company in 2002. Well, Jimmy saw something that many other people did, and he went for risk for reward, and he joined a startup company, and now, about 13 years later or 12 years later, Jimmy is the number one income earner in that company in his mid-80s, and Jimmy has taken some licks, but he's kept on ticking. Jimmy is an exceptional human being who never started his direct sales and network marketing career until he was 62 years young. Now, about 24 years later, Jimmy is achieving multiple seven figures. His two daughters and his two sons are also achieving seven figures, all because Jimmy was willing to change his story. Jimmy was a blue-collar employee trading time for dollars in a grocery store. Jimmy decided to change his story, and over a long career, he has completely reinvented himself and impacted millions of lives by the person he becomes. See, that's his story. You could have the same story if you'd be willing to pay the price. But that price requires a mindset. A mindset means belief. I believe in myself. Your belief does not have to be 100%. It's not possible to be 100%. You can't give 110% because there's only 100% that you can give. And I mean, your extra effort is important, but you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be flawless. But you do have to be effective, and that has to be a part of your story. Give more energy into being good than putting so much power into being the best. I had someone that I coached Monday that said to me, I'm going to be the number one income earner in this company. I'm like, dude, chill out. I mean, that's great. But focus on being your best, not the best. But if you tell big stories about how big you're going to be and you're going to do this and this, then you better be able to back it up. It ain't bragging if you can back it up, but your words better match your actions. And if you have big goals, then you better have big habits. When I see a lot of people, they set goals that are so big that they can justify their story of failure. Set realistic short-term goals that you can accomplish in 90-day windows, 90-day goal plan. It's very a 90-day plan, a daily method that you operate in. Clearly defined short-term goals. One of your goals, if you have a convention this summer, is to be able to walk the stage or get recognized at that event. So if you have an event in July, August, or September, then you better have a daily method of operation that will get you the recognition that you are seeking that event. If you want to max out the pay plan, then you better max out your potential. That means you better have daily discipline and daily habits that are conducive and pay the price one day at a time over a period of time to create the result that you are expecting. But if your expectations are bigger than your habits, then you will be disappointed to fulfill your story. See, if you're addicted to disappointment, then you'll recreate that situation over and over to fulfill those feelings of disappointment. But when you let go of disappointment and live one day at a time, and when you live one day at a time and you start to practice some simple emotional discipline, it's your emotional discipline that leads to your physical discipline. Your emotional discipline is your mindset. That's your belief. And your belief will be a direct reflection and a direct correlation of the words that you put back to back in your sentences that become your daily affirmations. But when you continue to affirm over and over that you're not good enough, either consciously and or unconsciously, then that becomes your story. And if you continue to get ready, waiting for that mythical, magical moment, for the success fairy to arrive in your doorstep and wave the magical, mythical wand that says you are anointed, you are now successful, and that's your story, it ain't going to happen. And if your story is you think that magically, mythically, you're going to attract that one superstar that you need, and you need that superstar. We need you on that wall. No, we don't need you on the wall, Captain Jessup. we need your ass in the chair here. Remember that? Remember that code red? Did you or did you not order a code red? See, that was a classic case of persuasion. That was one of the best sets of the sale I've ever seen in movie history. If you go back and rewatch that, the way that was all set up. See, that was a story. He led him right into his story, laid the trap, and he stepped right into it. And see, your story, you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to continue to get what you're getting. But as you begin to change your words, your feelings, and your actions, your results will change. As your results change, so can your story. But you also have to be able to recognize that you are changing. You have to be able to recognize that the compounded effect is happening. Your results may not be right in front of you, but if your action is consistent, your mindset is very, very clear, your habits are improving, then your results will eventually happen. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over, and you're not really a student of the process, and you think you can just wing it and make it on on talent alone, it's not going to happen. And I know that many of you are in Susan Sly's Organize Your Life class, and that has been a huge wake-up call for many of you, because you're starting to realize in what an overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined state that you have lived in. And if you're shaking your head because you know what I mean, you know what I mean. You require simple, methodical, systematic discipline. And I have found in my career that typically, this is a generality, exceptions to all rules, I have found that usually the most wealthiest, most spiritually connected, and most grounded people are the people who are the most organized, the most disciplined, that value their time and have systems and methods to operate in daily. See, if you don't really respect yourself, you won't respect your time, and then you won't attract the respect from the people that you require to be in business. And if you half-ass things, and if you're consistently late because you don't really respect other people's time, then you're going to have to take a good look in the mirror and have, instead of taking a selfie, a self-photograph, why don't you have a selfie conversation with selfie and say, selfie, get a grip, get your shit together, get your ass in the game, grow up, get real, stop chasing rainbows, and get a real career called entrepreneurship. Those of you who magically, mythically plan on quitting your job and you have these big dreams, well, that's great. But you better have big action. And if your action isn't consistent and your mindset isn't consistent, and most importantly this, if your emotional state is not consistent, you will not create consistent results. When problems arise, find a solution. Don't dwell on problems. Don't major in minor things. Don't hang around with people who create chaos and drama. And if you're a drama addict and a chaos addict, have a good look in the mirror. Ask yourself, what can I do to let go of what I continue to do over and over? Get honest with self. Get real. Get objective. That will be a big part of the transformation of your story. I had the privilege a few years ago of speaking at an event in San Diego with superstar internet marketer Jonathan Budd. And he did a whole piece on changing your story. And Jonathan Budd at the time, he was about 4 years into his internet marketing career, and he was creating multiple six figures a month online. This was about 5 years ago in San Diego. And he had talked about his story growing up in Connecticut, knowing very little about the internet. And at the age of 23, he started to practice some simple discipline about becoming an online marketer. It took him about 3 years of consistent daily action to ever create enough income that he could go full-time, and he was doing it 6 and 7 days a week. And he talked about the simple discipline in changing his story and changing, most importantly, his belief about himself and starting to have a vision of what he could create. But if you come from, I'm not sure, I'm not certain, then you can never come from, I will not be denied. There isn't space in your story to be in doubt. There's only space in your story to be in faith. You'll have some emotional challenges, but how quickly you pick yourself back up will be a big part of your story. See, when you start to live a different story, then you can convey the urgency of changing other people's story in your circle of influence. You'll also be able to pick up real quickly on storytellers whose story don't match the story you're looking for. You're going to encounter a lot of people who have a story, and they want to tell you their story about why they can't, why they won't, why they shouldn't, why they couldn't. And they're going to be the haters in the world. They're going to be people who want to knock you off your story. They're going to dislike you because you have the courage, the emotional discipline, the intestinal fortitude, the guts to stand the gaff. And you're able to say, bring it on. If that's the best you got, then you ain't got enough to change my story. And your story better be rock solid about who I am, what I'm becoming, where I'm going to be. And see, when you can create that kind of story, you have that kind of mindset, that kind of discipline, that kind of grit, that kind of DNA, and that kind of swag, then your leads are going to change. See, a big part of your leads are your story. But if you continue to tell yourself the same story over and over, I'm not good at, I'm not sure if I can, and then you don't do what's required, then how can you ever change your story? If you only devote a few hours a week and then you really break down those hours, see, the most important part of your story is one word called honesty. You must be honest about the story you're in right now. Well, this isn't really happening. You know, my team isn't. Well, the reason your team isn't is because you're not really leading your team. You're not really attracting the kind of people required to be a team leader. You're attracting the kind of people to be, you're attracting team leaders. And if your story is about codependence and it's not independence, then you're going to continue to attract the same kind of people over and over to fill your story of being needed. And a lot of people have to be needed. That's their control. And they want to go out and do everything for everyone. They want to stack people underneath people. They want to qualify people. They want to rig the game, and a rigged game never plays out. Because rigorous honesty does not have room for lies. And you have to stop lying to yourself in your story. Most importantly, the greatest lie that you will tell yourself is what you really did daily. Your ego will do everything in its power, in its story, to seduce you and to convince you into believing that you actually did something when you did dick. That means nothing, Richard. That means you did nothing. That's what your ego will do. Your ego will go, wow, I went to an event this Saturday, so I think I'm going to go out and get hammered tonight. I'm going to go out and get jacked sideways. I'm going to go to Jersey Shore, and I'm going to celebrate it, baby. Well, chief, that ain't going to happen. See, that kind of story, that's delusion. You can't afford that kind of slip-up. You can't afford that kind of relapse. You must put metal on metal, steel on steel. You must sharpen your skills. You must be able to want more than most people do. You can't come from, I want it real bad. You got to want it real good. It's that goodness that's in you. You have to be able to tap into that in your story. And you might feel sick, but the show must go on. I was not at the top of my game over the weekend, but the show must go on. I had a temperature of about 101, but I didn't want anyone to see me sweat virtually. I was sweating on my low back and my temples, but the show must go on. You must be able to give your best despite the circumstances, despite the odds, and that must become part of your story. You must become resilient in your story. You must be able to overcome the obstacles. You must be able to produce when duty calls. You may not feel your best, but you must give your best even though you don't feel your best. And your best is good enough. But when that's your story, then you won't criticize yourself. You won't judge yourself. You won't get down on yourself. And you won't attract the people to fulfill that kind of disappointment that you've been disappointed in. That's the most important part of your story, is changing your addiction to disappointment. We've all had events that shape our feelings and shape our lives. But as we begin to let go of those feelings about not good enough, not worthy enough, and realize that everything that happened brought you to this place called now. Every blade of grass you walked upon brought you to where you are right now. When you let go of guilt and you let go of shame, when you let go of guilt and you let go of shame, that changes your story. Everyone's had transgressions. Everyone's done things that they're embarrassed about. Everyone's been humiliated. Everyone's done something that they got laughed at. Everyone's made a mistake. I've had DUIs, drug arrests, public intoxications. I've done things that I have been ashamed of, but it doesn't do me any good to give power to that. I cut my wrist once when I was at the bottom of my life. I relapsed over and over again. I hit rock bottom so many times, I didn't know what rock bottom really meant. I lied to myself every single day for the last 5 years of my life. I forgot how to eat. All I remembered was how to drink. I forgot where I drank the night before, so I'd have to spend most of my morning trying to figure out where to drink today. I'd spend my entire day controlling control, and that became my story. I reached a point in the depth of darkness, the lowest point that I ever thought I could possibly reach, where I said, I surrender. And that wasn't the only time I've surrendered. I've surrendered numerous times. I've surrendered numerous times to my lies, my pathological stories, the lies I've told myself that I'm not good enough. And when you can get real with yourself, the tears that you drop will not be just from tears of pain. Those are tears of breakdown that break through. When you can really get humble with yourself and let go of your story about the guilt and the shame and the events that no longer serve you, they will serve you. They'll serve you in a different way. They'll serve you because that's what gave you the story that you now have. And that story that you'll be able to tell, that victory of overcome that, people will buy that story from you because they'll believe in you. When you're honest enough and when you're humble enough to tell the facts of what really happened from a place of humility and a place of vulnerability, people want to be a part of your story. That's a whole different way to look at your story. When you can overcome your story, then that story that you tell is a whole different perspective of your story. And that's what people will buy, that genuineness, that humility in you. They'll love you for being that honest and that open and that transparent. It's that part of your story where your story there serves you. But when you live it, see, that's where you overcome the story. But when you are the story that you haven't overcome and that story is your identity, then you have no hope of ever overcoming that because you say, I'm trapped in this story. You have no idea where I am right now. You have no idea that I have three kids that are challenged. You have no idea I'm on food stamps. I do have an idea. I've been there. It's called rock bottom. Rock bottom is emotional. It's physical. It's financial. It's many different situations. The most overrated part of your story is rock bottom. But if you've ever been fortunate enough to get there and overcome it, then that gives you a whole different level of resiliency that most people never get to experience. But if you're at rock bottom right now, financially, emotionally, or whatever the situation is, that's a part of your story that you can begin to build upon, because that story will be a chapter in your book. But I promise you this, in your book of life, you don't require that chapter. You've suffered enough. You're so done with this, the great C.G. Siddons once said at one of my events, and I watched her really mean that. I watched her take that, I'm so done with this, and I watched Joe DiBianco, who was in that same room with her, I watched him get it. I watched them both get it, and then I watched her in a 13-month period completely change her story. She began to attract a whole different type of person to her reality. And I watched Dawn Ferrantino do a very similar situation. Two children that were teenagers, a full-time job, 40 to 45 hours a week in a job that didn't serve her. But I'll tell you what, she had so much guts and she had so much feeling for employees. She stayed in that job as long as she had to. When she was ready to change that story, she did it. And she created a six-figure income part-time, and that's now part of her story. That's a fact. She did that. She unequivocally did that. See, when you have that kind of story, you want to be able to share that story because people will buy that story. They're buying you then because they sense it. And you're not telling that to brag or boast. You're sharing that story to give other people hope. Because they'll buy that. They'll go, wow, if she can do that, my story isn't that significant. My story isn't that bad. That's why people love to hear a good story. And so that's part of your story. If you have a lot of debt and you pay that off, and you pay it off without going bankrupt, that shows the kind of person that you are. That shows the kind of person that you're capable of being. See, people want to hear that kind of story. People love a victim-to-victory story, and you want to have that kind of story. You deserve to have a 30-second story. You got to be able to develop your story. Now, this Saturday, I will be in Weehawken, New Jersey. That is Saturday, June 7th. From 9 to 4 in Weehawken, New Jersey at the Sheraton Hotel. That will be an absolutely life transformational event, and I look forward to connecting with you. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call has officially been recorded and will be available for playback at 12 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you very much for being on tonight's call. It's going to be a great summer. Create a sense of urgency. Finish every day strong. Finish the month of June strong, because the month of June is the second quarter of 2014. So July 1st, 6 months of the year will officially be over. And you want to be able to come from power on July 1st, 2014. Have a great evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you,
Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey Combs. Appreciate
you. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeff. Have
thank
a good
you.
Night.
Good night.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeff.
His phone number.